Can we begin by looking to the Lord briefly for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we share this morning, we pray, Lord, that the words spoken might be the words of your choosing, that they might work the work of your desire, that your people might be edified and you glorified. Dear Jesus, we commit this time into your hands in thankfulness and in your name. Amen. This morning I'm going to do something rather different from what I've ever done before. I was asked to sort of share the walk we've been on, and rather than preaching to you and drawing messages from the Word of God, we're going to try to share with you from a life that has been impacted by the hand of God. By way of introduction, almost anyone here could share about things in their lives that were just as intensely personal and stressful as this has been for us. I should say that the last few weeks contained a period of time that was perhaps as intensely fearsome as any I have known as an adult human being. But I don't see what I'm going to be sharing as anything uniquely different from what many, many others could share from their own lives. The topic of time has for many years been an important topic for me. I've preached about it, and I have applied what I have said to my own life before sharing it with others. It has been important to me to redeem the time, to pay the price, to buy it back, so that the time I have might be well spent and not simply frittered away in minor things of no import. I frankly expected that I would likely remain healthy well into my 90s. My parents both died elderly, and my health has been excellent. I can remember taking a stress test about a year ago, and when I finished, the physician said that, given my age, basically that the results of the stress test were phenomenal. I usually walk into work and home, and it's a mile and a half each way, and I enjoy those walks, and I walk vigorously. Things have changed, and they've changed rapidly during the last few weeks. By way of background, my wife Sharon and my daughter Amy were away on vacation. They've gone back to visit my wife's parents and brother and sister in the Niagara Falls, Buffalo area, and then to serve at a Christian camp for some few days, and we all rejoiced that they had the opportunity to do this. While they were gone, there were a number of symptoms that became evident to me. I was inordinately sleepy. I can remember one night sleeping for 14 hours, getting up, and within 20 minutes to an hour, I was thinking the most pleasant prospect would be to lie down and get some sleep. Something I'd never experienced before. I was just endlessly sleepy. I began to have olfactory hallucinations. There was this offensive odor, sort of like old dog food. And anything I would smell would bring on this odor. So I put a delicious piece of pizza into my mouth, and I'm also eating old dog food. It wasn't very pleasant. I had some discomfort in the right temporal area, and if I would sneeze or bend over suddenly, there would be a momentary pain there. And then my voice was weak. It still hasn't completely come back to normal, but I realized between the sleepiness and the quality of my voice, I would not be able to teach. It simply wouldn't be doable for me. When Sharon and Amy returned home, some other symptoms became immediately evident to her. I think largely because of the sleepiness, many things that I would normally have been right on top of and delighted to do simply were ignored. Many things. And it startled me, the things that had not been done that I should have done. And then the left side of my face was apparently drooping And so these symptoms all suggested that I had had a stroke. Sharon simply took charge and got me the medical attention I needed. Her love and effective support have been reaffirmed to me in so many ways. I praise God for the gift of my wife. She got me into the hospital, and they immediately did a CAT scan, and the word that came back was, "You have not had a stroke, but we have found a brain tumor." Well, actually, that's worse news rather than better news. We immediately set up for surgery to be done, and within just a few days, the surgery had been completed. The findings: the tumor was a highly aggressive form of malignancy. And so the physician's comment, it will be back. It will recur. And it could recur anywhere within the brain, so the symptoms are unknowable and the timing is unknowable. But we can be reasonably sure that it will be back. Average longevity with this type of tumor varies from 10 months out to perhaps as long as 2 to 3 years, depending upon the type of treatment. So rather than my time going into the 90s, it's been shortened considerably. We're talking perhaps 1 to 3 years. This journey has just begun, and we have reason to think that it will at times be exceedingly difficult. I'd like to share some scripture that has been of value to me at this time. First two portions come from one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, the book of Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 10. Part B. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? No. We accept whatever the Lord has chosen to bring our way. Second, Job 1, verse 21, part B. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. From the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And then chapter 4, verse 16b through 18. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In deference to my daughter, who pointedly asks me when I speak here that I not be entirely serious, my one grandfather, my father's father, used to have an expression when he would be feeling the effects of his age, he would say, "Don't never get old. Don't never get old." My father picked that up and shared it with us, and we, of course, laughed with him at it. And on one occasion, when my father was probably in his 80s and he had begun to complain about some limitation he was feeling, some ache or pain or whatever, I said to him very pointedly, "Your father used to say, don't never get old." I said, "You're feeling these things because you didn't obey your father." Some blessings that it has been my joy to experience through this time. First of all, my respect and love for my wife have deepened because of the countless ways she has served me effectively, lovingly through this time. Secondly, friends and neighbors served us in tangible ways with gifts. A little family across the street, for example, bought a flower pot, and each member of the family painted a side of the flower pot. Beautiful little paintings of flowers and wishes for my well-being. And then they put a mum in there and brought it over as a gift to her. A neighbor next door, directly next door, went to Glen Ellen, and there's a little shop over there that sells these beautiful little baskets and colorful bags that are filled with big, rich, thick chocolate chip cookies on a stick. And they brought that over as a gift. And she also came over and repeatedly watered the grass seed that I had newly put down on our lawn. Just selfless decency. And expressions of support. The Lord's hand has been evident to us in so many ways. We could not have been, first of all, we could not have been more pleased with the surgeon that we were given. We simply made the arrangements as quickly as we understood what was going on, and the surgeon on call was as decent a man, and I would prize to have him as a brother in Christ. I don't believe he is a Christian, but he's got a spiritual sensitivity and is simply a decent, I would have to say almost wise human being. We had some very, very positive interactions with him. And when we would share with people about the process we were undergoing, they'd ask, who was the surgeon? And we'd tell them. If they recognized his name, we were uniformly delighted that we had gotten the best man. So the Lord's hand was very evident in that process. Secondly, virtually all of the symptoms and after effects of the surgery have gone. I think after I got out of the hospital, I was up for walking into work and going to work. And it was only my family and people at the school who said, get back home, stay there, heal. We have been given the gift of this time. Whether it's for months or for years is in the Lord's hand, but we will seize it and use it well. And that's a precious gift to have been given. How many people undergo an accident and simply die in a moment? The Lord has given us a gift. Finally, the assurance that when this life is over, life will go on. I won't live well into my 90s. I'll live way beyond that. Not here, but in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's people at Bethany, at the college, among family and their churches, and among our homeschooling Christian friends, have manifested Christ in countless precious ways. First of all, in visits at the hospital and at home. And I prize those visits. I've always been a loner. I mean, if you would talk to me by myself, especially years ago, I would tell you if they locked me up in solitary confinement, I would do perfectly all right. Things have changed. I've come to prize those expressions of friendship and support. surprise the people who made them. Cards. We were sent so many cards. It was stunning. And the expressions of love and support and prayer that were on those cards, I will always prize. Meals. People made meals and brought them over to us. Offers of tangible help. Open-ended offers. If there's anything you can think of, transportation, babysitting, meals, let us know. Somebody to mow the lawn, let us know. And prayer. You went before the throne of grace, and grace upon grace was poured out to us. So many people prayed, and the Lord responded in ways that were time and again evident to us that he was gracing our lives. Thank you for those prayers. I have probably shared once before, I, in the past, read the books of Watchman Nee, among others, Christian evangelists in China. And I remember a comment from one of his books to this effect, that the church is not those who have been born again. The church is the measure of Christ within them. You have manifested Christ. And your Christ-like beauty has been evident to us. I thank God for every remembrance on you. Your support has been felt as a mighty tide lifting us up before the throne of grace. We felt it. It was real to us. It was experienced by us. Finally, God is sovereign. We are not simply at the mercy of biology and medicine. How many people who undergo something like this, who do not know the Lord, simply have no other resource than what a physician tells them or what a physician does? We have an incredible resource that goes far beyond what they could imagine. And that resource is Almighty God, our Father, the lover of our souls. God may yet do something startling, but whatever he chooses, he will neither leave us nor forsake us. Let me close in a brief word. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again, Lord, for walking with us through this time of trouble, for blessing us in so many rich and deep ways. Thank you, Lord, for the kindness of your people and the measure of Christ within them that is expressed to us, and in many cases, silently, but nevertheless before the throne of grace. Lord, bless and beautify and enrich your people and be honored among us, Lord. For we pray it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Maybe there's a couple things that we should think about in light of our dear brother's comments. First of all of us stare life and death in the face. For the believer, there's hope. For those here who might not know the Lord, you got to know the Lord to have hope. If you have a question about how you can ask the Lord Jesus into your life and have a hope, please come talk to us. We'd be happy to share it with you. The second thing is, God is sovereign. Amen? Amen. So we're going to close with a hymn that addresses some of these thoughts. So we're going to stand together and sing. Sing it out. And if a tear rolls down your cheek while you're singing, don't worry about it. Stand together with me and sing 345, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Let's stand together.